In Ireland, nothing gets us talking like lions.
Tea?
Small talk.
Well, Jimmy, shocking weather we're having.
Big talk.
Even I could have played county. Office talk.
I'm MIA in the AM, but I'll circle back on the KPIs.
Real talk.
Milk before tea? Should be a criminal offence.
You could say we talk too much.
But the truth is,
we don't talk nearly enough. Lions puts the talk into tea.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Aoife Barry and Joe O'Shea are with us for the week trending. We're not going to spend an enormous amount of time on the war that Donald Trump and Israel have started against Iran. But there are a couple of things we want to talk about in relation to it, particularly the use by the White House of little short videos which are almost dehumanising the conflict and turning it into a video game. With this mashup that we're going to play to you, uses clips from Iron Man, Superman, Braveheart. I don't know what Braveheart has got to do with America, but anyway, Better Call Saul, of all things, and many more movies and TV shows interspersed with footage of alleged Iran targets.
Wake up, Daddy's home.
Welcome home, son.
Strength and honor.
Strength and honor.
What will you do without freedom?
Maverick, sit down.
You can't conceive of what I'm capable of.
Finishing this fight.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
I'm here to fight for truth and justice in the American way.
I am the danger.
Time to find out.
Maximum effort.
Here it comes.
This flawless victory.
All a game, Joe, is it, for Donald Trump and his friends in the White House?
Yeah, America, the shining city on the hill, the bastion of freedom. It's as if they got a 14-year-old to put together a propaganda video. And with this administration, that's entirely possible. Obviously, they're catching a lot of flak for this and they're getting a lot of reaction online. People are talking about war by any means necessary, or not war is hell, war is lol, and all that kind of stuff. It seems to be that they're trying to go after Gen Z. They're trying to convince, like, the termly online, maybe right-wing-leaning young men that they, you know, that this war is the right thing, because they know that in the wider public opinion in America, they're being absolutely, this is going down really, really badly. You had Donald Trump yesterday saying that, you know, gas prices are going up. Great, that means we're going to make more money. It seems to be out of control as far as the messaging is concerned. It's chaotic and they're trying to claw back some sort of support. But the one thing that they're facing with Gen Z and young men in particular is there's been talk this week of the draft coming back in America. And there's not a lot of 19-year-old white guys in America who really want to do Vietnam.
Surely Barron Trump wants to go to war on behalf of his dad.
He can't. He can't. You know why Barron Trump can't?
I know, and it's nothing to do with bone spurs. It's a better one than that, even.
Yeah. Well, he's too tall, apparently, for the army. He's 6'9". So, I mean, obviously, they can't find a uniform to fit him. So he'd love to go. Barron Trump would really love to go and serve his country, just like his daddy didn't do, and none of his family ever did. But he can't do it.
What do you make of all this, Aoife? This sort of, like, maybe it's appealing to the manosphere, who, you know, turning everything into a video game, but is there a lack of, shall I say, humanity involved in this? And that war is a very serious, people who've gone to war previously realise that the death toll is very serious and they try to minimise it perhaps on both sides. Whereas here we have Trump and Hegseth openly boasting about killing people. I mean, there's an outrageous Truth Social post from Trump today in which he is glorying in the idea of killing people.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, two boys playing with toy soldiers, but they're playing with real people's lives, you know, people in Iran, people in America, and you know, beyond that. And it's war as spectacle, it's war as gladiatorial spectacle, which, you know, isn't perhaps that surprising, but this spectacle online and the spectacle on X in particular, on social media platforms, it's all part of this game that they're playing to try and make what they're doing seem both real and unreal at the same time. So it's treating it like it's a game game. It's treating it like it's just moving people around, around with their little kind of fake guns, and the deaths don't mean anything, but it really does mean something extremely serious. And they understand that too at the same time. They know that what they're doing has a serious impact on people. But because their posts and these hype videos take up this strange liminal space of feeling both real and unreal at the same time, it confuses people, I think, and it kind of bamboozles us, and it makes us concentrate on what they're doing by making these hype videos and not on the actual military tactics and the foreign policy that's, you know, going on, or if there is any tactics at all to what Trump is deciding to do.
Listener says, Baron Trump can join the Navy, though. He's not too tall for that. I would have thought that would have been really a problem for him. He'd bump his head in a submarine or down...
6'9".
Yeah.
I mean, it's that classic thing as well of that kind of, you know, American exceptionalism, and they're like, we're going out here and we're fighting and we're doing this, that and the other thing, and then actually the reality sets in, something like the Vietnam War, where you actually see the reality of what happens to people once they go out there and the huge pushback against that. And we're not stupid. People in America are not stupid. Like Joe was saying there, the polls are really against all of what's happening here, and this might be an attempt to try and glorify what's happening, but people are not idiots, and this is just appealing to the lowest common denominator. But the problem also related to this is that Trump et al. Believe that what happens on social media, and particularly on X, and any traction they get on there has power. They have given that power. So if they get a reaction online, that is a good thing for them, even if that reaction is wholly negative.
Well, indeed, Trump today put up on Truth Social a picture of himself at military academy with my parents, Fred and Mary. So I say he's about Barron's age in this, and he's in a ridiculous looking uniform. But as one person posted in relation to it, sadly, young Donald's brilliant military career was interrupted by the unfortunate outbreak of the Vietnam War. Nicely put. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else has said, given the way that this has been conducted, at this rate, the Trump administration will release the full unredacted Epstein files to distract from Iran. Joe, Micheál Martin is going there on Tuesday, leading an Irish delegation to the Oval Office. I presume you'd hope, wouldn't you, that he will feel almost a little bit sick at having to tolerate or endure Trump, but that he's just got to have to grit his teeth for Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Micheál Martin's a decent man and he's an intelligent man. He wouldn't be where he is today if he wasn't. This is part of the curse of Trump in America, in that it makes us have to think about things that are kind of stupid, and we really, like, do you remember the good old days when this would have been, and finally, the Taoiseach went to the Oval Office and gave the bowl of shamrock to President whoever, Bill Clinton, let's say, at the time. Now it has to be this weeks-long national debate about should he not, what should he say when he gets there, do we make Trump angry, do we confront him, do we do this, do we do that? You know, I saw people saying that, well, you know, we've kept our heads down and that's worked well. I'm sitting in Cork, where 6 of the 8 biggest pharma companies on the globe have their European headquarters in Cork. And if Trump actually got his way with tariffs, that would have basically dropped a nuclear bomb, sorry for the imagery, on the Cork economy. So we haven't escaped all of his, you know, threats and everything like that. And it doesn't really matter, I'd say, what Micheál Martin says to him. Trump may not even realise who he's talking to. It's some Irish guy with a bowl of shamrock. And hopefully, I'd say what Micheál Martin is hoping to do is go over there and just talk about golf for 10 minutes and get out of there as quickly as he can.
Yeah, it's this idea of, like, getting to go into the White House, gliding in there and gliding out without anything happening is the ideal. And yet that is so frustrating for people watching on, because all people want somebody like Micheál Martin to do is to use the position of power to speak out about what's happening. But we also know that if he does, that could have, like what Joe was saying there, detrimental effects on Ireland. And it's this bizarre situation we're in, where you're dealing with a person who's not, like, you know, a serious person in many ways, and makes decisions based on, you know, what way the wind is flowing that day. And so Micheál Martin is going to be very nervous, because what if something unexpected happens when he turns up there that, you know, that does lead Trump to cast a colder eye on Ireland, etc.? Or is he going to do the usual plum-ossing of Ireland and we'll get away with it? And then that's slightly embarrassing for us as well, being a nation that is in that situation.
I reckon the best he can hope for is he might get a new pair of shoes.
that won't fit him.
You're aware of this, Joe, this thing of that all the cabinet are now wearing shoes that that don't fit them, because he makes an estimate as to the size of their shoes. And then you've got pictures of the likes of Marco Rubio, and there's quite a gap between his heel and the back of his shoe. And all of these clowns are wearing it because they're afraid not to wear the shoes that Trump has told them to wear.
How have we
ended it's emperor's new clothes. Yeah, it's emperor's new clothes.
Yeah, but
stuff,
it's also a sign of the power that he holds over them, and how he abuses the power that he realizes all the idiots he has assembled around him are so toadying that they will put on the cheap shoes that he gives them.
Yeah, but you're seeing cracks. You know, you're seeing like people like Massey, you know, who's a Republican and fairly respected, and even by right wing Republicans is fairly respected. People are starting to talk up against Trump. They're starting to see that the midterms are coming down the track like an absolute railroad train heading for the Republican Party. You wonder how long more can he hold this spell? Because you're right, his inner circle seem to be terrified of him. You wonder why? Because what can he do that he hasn't done already to people? He humiliated Marco Rubio, and Rubio is still there wearing shoes that are three sizes too big for him because he won't speak up for himself.
It's like a mad psychological experiment about what people will do when they're faced with this man who has a huge amount of power. And I think it's really interesting looking on as a woman who, if I was in that situation, thinking, what on earth? You know, that like there's such a massive like patriarchal machoism. There's something going on psychologically with how everybody behaves in this situation that is going to be studied when we're all dead and buried, and they're going to be like, how did this happen? How was it allowed to happen? He has told us who he is as a person. He has told his acolytes who he is. And even when he's turning that power against them, they're still there kind of slavishly agreeing with what he does. It's mind-boggling on so many levels.
Listener says, God help me, Hall Martin on Tuesday. He's indeed a smart fellow, but he'll have to dumb himself down when he gets there. Yeah. What do you say to a toddler that has no one to tell him what's right or wrong?
Yeah.
Exactly. Giant orange toddler.
And Micheál Martin's basically going to have to go in there and hope something doesn't explode, or Trump doesn't kind of mistake him for the Prime Minister of Albania and threaten to invade Leitrim, or God knows. I mean, he'll want to get in and out, drop the ball and get out as fast as possible.
Let's move from the bully in the White House to a bully in a kitchen. World famous René Redzepi. Can you tell me who this guy is?
Yeah, hugely famous person in the restaurant world, head chef and co-founder of Noma, the Copenhagen restaurant. It's so famous. I was in Copenhagen last year and I passed by and took a photograph of the sign because it's such a famous place.
And you didn't go into
certainly couldn't afford to be
three-star.
No, well, it is closed as a restaurant, but no, I wouldn't be able to be one of those people who could afford to pay the large sums needed.
That's right. When I said three-star, three Michelin star, and there is a difference.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I think that's so interesting about Noma is that it's really famous because of its sustainable approach. So it really, you know, kind of led with that idea of sustainability and perfection, and creating these dishes that are just of a level that, you know, anybody's just kind of trying to get to. But in that quest for perfection, it seems the behaviour in the kitchen, particularly led by Redzepi, was not positive in any shape or form. There were some protests this week in Los Angeles before a pop-up that Noma was involved with that was supposed to be taking place. But in the end, he actually resigned this week because there was a New York Times report that details allegations of former staff who worked for Noma, which began being spread on Instagram by staff member who used to work there, who spoke out about his own experience, and then he was reposting what other people had gone through. And as this was raised, New York Times then did its due diligence and reporting on it, and René Redzepi ended up apologising. There's a video of him apologising. He stepped down. He basically said he didn't recognise all of the claims people had made.
He was hitting his staff, wasn't
yes,
he?
Let me just detail maybe some of the things people said. So the New York Times said that they're based on interviews with 35 former employees, they described a quote, pattern of physical punishment, lasting trauma from layers of psychological abuse. The chef allegedly threatened to get employees blacklisted from the industry, have their families deported, have family members fired from jobs. There is a description at the very opening of the piece about him hauling out a member of staff who did something he didn't like and, you know, verbally abusing him in front of all of the other employees on purpose.
Joe, what's this woke world coming to when you can't hit or verbally abuse a member of your staff anymore?
It's just ridiculous. And one of the other things he did was he threatened to have their families deported. I mean, you know, it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do in the workplace. If somebody disappoints you with their performance, you say, right, I'm going to punch you in the face and then I'm going to get your family deported. What is crazy about this is there was a very famous documentary made, I think back in 2008, mm-hmm. Boiling Point, which actually kind of, you know, it kind of created the myth of the, that then became kind of like, gave us shows like The Bear and gave us, you know, a lot of, kind of created this kind of myth about the crazed, slightly violent genius chef.
Yeah, wasn't the Stephen Graham movie called Boiling Point?
Yeah, the Stephen Graham movie.
Which is brilliant.
Brilliant. That's a fantastic movie. One take. Well, I think it is actually one take.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's brilliant, yeah. But this guy's been doing this for like years, right? And now, you know, his apology as well is what it's kind of in the classic lines of like, you know, if I have hurt people, I apologize. I have some questions to ask myself and I shall now go away and reassess my behavior. As if he had kind of mildly critiqued somebody's bouillabaisse rather than, you know, attacked them with knives in the kitchen. It's crazy stuff.
I think what's really interesting about this is that all of the behavior that's being catalogued here, you know, it's not a surprise to anybody who follows, like Joe was talking there, The Bear, or just stories in general around the atmosphere in these sorts of kitchens. It's just that it was seen as normal. It's normalized in that quest for genius, in that quest for being the best. It was, you just do whatever it takes to get there. And if you're treated badly on the way, that's fine. If you treat your staff badly on the way, that's fine. It's this masculine culture around food that's being nurtured and that is only really in the last number of years tipping over into stories like this where people are having to account for it. Like I was reading a blog post that where Jeppy wrote himself, where he details things that he did himself in the kitchen. And he said he experienced all of those things too. So he thought he might not do it himself when he became a head chef. And he did. It's this kind of generational violence that is going through this entire industry. And you'd really wonder about how many other people are suffering just as these staff suffered at the hands of people who are doing the same, at the hands of people who are also seen as geniuses, who are also seen as the best in their industry, in this restaurant industry, and that are maybe afraid to speak up because you just have to experience it to go through it and to get there, to kind of get higher and higher in the industry. It's a real kind of indictment of this accepting this type of aggression as normal and as necessary in order to be the best. And I think it's good to see this finally kind of really coming out, particularly with something like Noma, and particularly to finish when the contrast between its ideals, which are these lovely ideals of sustainability and being at one with the planet, are so contrasted with how the staff are treated. And, you know, it's part of, I think, maybe 2026, do not trust anything and anybody who says they're doing the best thing ever. And always look behind the curtain because you never know what's really going on.
Joe, just in a minute, can you tell me the story of Joe Malone, which would be very well known, I suspect, to many listeners, perfume and other products, how she's after getting sued for using her own name?
Yeah, this is crazy. Joe Malone, everybody will know Joe Malone, especially, you know, husbands looking for a quick gift at Christmas, Valentine's
Day,
whatever.
Day.
Mother's Day.
This Sunday, Joe.
This Sunday.
If you just excuse me, I just have to leave now.
Hello, Joe.
Yeah, that's the door swinging closed in the studio there. Jo Malone sold her business to Estee Lauder, which maybe a lot of people know, in 1910. And of course, it's Jo Malone Perfume. So she's now entered a new agreement with Zara. She has her own business since and set up in 2011 called Jo Loves. She's signed a deal with Zara to come out with a new range of perfumes, cosmetic products and so forth. And Estee Lauder, who bought Jo Malone, her name, for many millions, are now suing her for being Jo Malone, effectively. Which reminds me of John Fogerty.
They bought her name.
She's using it on a Zara perfume now. You know, blah, 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 perfume by Jo Malone. And they claim that this
I'm not surprised she's been sued.
Yeah. And she did say that it was the worst thing she's ever done in business.
But she did it.
She regrets it heavily.
She did it. She buy her name back.
Yeah. Do not sell your name.
John Fogerty, John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival, the famous 60s band, was once sued for sounding too much like John Fogerty of Creedence Clearwater Revival. So you have to be careful with your name.
I don't have time to get the explanation for that, but thank you very much for that. Joe Shea, Aoife Barry.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.